You know, last week we began a new sermon series called Altered, and it is a series that looks at the different offerings prescribed to God's people found in Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. Last week we looked at Genesis chapter 8, and it was the very first altar mentioned in Scripture, the altar that Noah made after he left the ark following 370 days inside. And we learned that God is inviting us to make space in our lives so that we can experience the power of transformation. This week, we're going to be unpacking the burnt offering that is found in Leviticus chapter 1. And it's in the burnt offering that we are invited to surrender completely. Right? We are invited to surrender our control and to demonstrate our obedience, demonstrate our commitment through obedience. And to help us to live into the impact of the burnt offering in our lives, we're also going to be looking at it practically from Genesis chapter 22, looking at that passage from the eyes of Abraham. Now, Lent is it's an intentional time of obedience demonstrated by surrendering what we hold most dear in our lives. And the question that comes to us in the season of Lent is, do we commit? Are we willing to commit only when it's conditional? Are we willing to commit when it's convenient? Are we only willing to commit when it's on our terms? As Jesus walked towards the cross, he walked towards the cross in full obedience without condition. So the question that we need to be asking ourselves or willing to hear this morning is, are we willing to let go of our control and commit ourselves fully to obedience? Now, Abraham, we all know Father Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, they were their patriarchs, matriarchs of Scripture. Abraham was promised to be the father of a great nation, right? A nation that, as he looked at the sands and all the grains of sand and all the stars in the sky, that's how big his family would be. The problem was, they couldn't have children. And Genesis 11 reminds us that Sarah could not have children, right? And so what do we do with that? What does Abraham do with that? Well, after many years, Isaac comes along. And this is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. You know, years and years of waiting, finally they have a child. Finally, they have what they have been waiting for all of their lives. And now Abraham was being asked to surrender it all. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says, sometimes later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called? Yes, he replied. Here I am. Now, Abraham was a guy who had everything that he ever wanted. His son was what he valued most on earth, and God was about to test his commitment. Was it going to be the life that he enjoyed here on earth, or was it going to be his father in heaven? You know, the first step in living a life of surrender is being willing to respond. And when God called, Abraham said, here I am. Now, the Hebrew word for here I am means to behold or look. And this was the first step in Abraham's commitment. Look, here I am. I'm ready to respond when you call, God. As a child of God, Abraham listened and responded. You know, the first step of experiencing the transforming power of surrender is to show up and to be willing to respond. Genesis 22 continues, and God says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so very much, and go into the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. And so when Abraham responded, God asked for Abraham's son. God knew the depth of commitment he was asking of Abraham to give up. You can hear it in the way that it's worded, it's phrased. I want you, Abraham, for you to take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, that's the son I'm talking about, the one that you love so much. And I want you to offer him to me as a burnt offering. Now, I have to admit, reading this is distasteful. It's shocking. And if you're like, what is God asking? You would not be alone in asking that question. And I'm not going to be able to fully ease your mind as to why God is doing this, but what I will invite you to do is to look at this event in the light of the larger context of Scripture and see how this event ultimately points us towards God's solution for the problem of death in our world. Isaac points to Jesus. And as we see in Abraham's story, God himself provides the sacrifice, right? A ram that was caught in some bushes nearby. And it foreshadows God's faithfulness to us and to the rest of humanity. This act of sacrifice ultimately culminates in Jesus, who serves as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Now, what does it mean to sacrifice something as a burnt offering? Well, in the book of Leviticus, right, we learn that there are five different offerings which God used as a way for his children to be reconciled, to be made right in their relationship, right? Because we sin and God can't coexist with sin. So how do we fix that? And so that's why we have the sacrificial system. Leviticus chapter 1 provides the instructions for a burnt offering. It's the most common sacrifice, but it was also the sacrifice that called for the most commitment, or the greatest commitment. Leviticus 1:3 says that the animal chosen as the burnt offering needed to be the best. Right? It needed to be the most valued thing you had. Right? Not only the best, not only the most valued, but unlike the other sacrifices, which we will see in upcoming weeks, every part of the animal was sacrificed. Nothing was held back. It was a full commitment. Abraham was being asked to sacrifice everything to the Lord. When the Israelites would offer these burnt sacrifices, it wasn't because of what they would gain from God, but it was what they were giving to God. It's not about what they were gaining, but it was about what they were giving. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which we talked about this past week on Wednesday Night Live, right? Wednesday Night Live is going along with the sermon series, and we watch a video. It's all folding together. But Romans chapter 1, verse 12 tells us to sacrifice our bodies, to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That God is not asking for a part of our lives, that God is not just asking for our Sundays. We are a burnt offering, and we are called to bring God our whole selves. We are called to bring a full commitment. If you professed your faith in Christ and declared your commitment to being a disciple of Jesus, what did that mean to you? Did it mean that you were making a 10% financial commitment? Did it mean that you were choosing to serve once a month, at least as long as it fits into your schedule? Or did it mean that you were all in? Did it mean a full surrender to God? Now, the sacrifice that we're talking about in Genesis 22, the sacrifice wasn't Abraham's choice. Right? Abraham didn't look over all of his flocks and all of his belongings and pick out which one he was willing to give. The choice of sacrifice was God's. The choice to surrender was Abraham's. And Abraham was willing to be fully obedient. Genesis chapter 22, verse 6, Abraham is carrying the wood for the sacrifice, just as Jesus would carry the wood, the cross, to Golgotha, where he would lay down his own life as a sacrifice. Right, this is the call to commitment that Jesus asks of all of us. Matthew 16, 24 tells us that if we want to be a full disciple of Christ, we must be willing to take up our cross and follow after him. Right? This is an act of commitment without condition. It is through our surrender that we encounter the transforming power of God. Genesis chapter 22 continues. And when they arrived at the place where God told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on top. And then he tied up his son, Isaac, and laid him on top of the wood. And then Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" And Abraham replied, "Here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Don't hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." And then Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. And so he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means "the Lord will provide." And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, after Abraham gathered the wood, he and Isaac went to the place that God had told him to build an altar. Right? Abraham created a space to encounter God. We all need to create that space. We all need to create a space where we can encounter God, a place where we surrender all that we have and we encounter the transforming power of God. And this place that God invited Abraham and Isaac to, Moriah, today is the Temple Mount, right? The place where Solomon's temple was built. And it's still a sacred place. And in this space, we see a tale of two surrenders, right? Abraham's faith was active. He laid his life on the altar in the form of his son, his most beloved gift from God. And notice that Abraham didn't build an altar because he needed a son. He built an altar to give back to God what he had already received. It wasn't about negotiating his needs. It was about committing every aspect of his life, wherever it may lead. Richard Foster says in his book, The Celebration of Discipline, "Worship begins with holy expectancy, and it ends in holy obedience." This was an act of holy worship for Abraham. Now, Isaac's faith was passive, but no less powerful. He willingly laid down his own life on the altar for God. He wasn't forced or coerced, but he made a full commitment with his life. Now, whether active or passive, both were fully committed to God in that space. And they both encountered the mercy and the grace of God. In verse 11, it says, "The angel of the Lord," and in Hebrew, this is the covenant name for God. It's the name that was used for God in Genesis 21:1 when God promised Isaac to Abraham. And notice, don't miss this, the fact that Abraham responded with the knife held in the air, "Here I am," being fully committed and ready to respond. Except it wasn't just Abraham who responded here, but it was also their Savior who provided the sacrifice so that Abraham wouldn't have to. Just as God provided Jesus as a sacrifice for us. And the space of this encounter was called, "The Lord Will Provide." The Lord sees our needs and will provide. Abraham believed in the Lord, and when he held nothing back through his willingness to surrender, God revealed himself through provision. But the altar was not just a space of remembrance of what God had already provided. Right? Abraham didn't name the place. God did provide. It was a space where Abraham was declaring his belief in the God of provision for his future. The Lord will provide. And church, where have we created that space in our lives to declare God's provision and to be expectant in the encounter? Where have we, in the midst of our lives, created a space where we can commit ourselves without condition, believing in the faithfulness and the goodness of God? Because when we are ready to respond, God leads us to a place of encounter where we can experience his provision. You know, we'll often share stories of someone being down to their last dollar and God providing miraculously through a check in the mail or groceries on the porch. But Abraham's bank account was full. Abraham was willing to commit everything he had to the Lord. Not out of desperation, but out of obedience. Abraham surrendered what was most valuable to him, and without condition, and the blessings came through full commitment. Where are we in the midst of our lives creating a space where we can fully commit to God, where we can say, "God, here is my everything"? How is it that we can live as holy and living sacrifices to God, making a choice each and every day to give ourselves fully to God and holding nothing back? May we make that space in our lives. May we build that altar in our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your obedience. Lord, even in the midst of the garden, you prayed, "Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as you will." Lord, help us to know you. Help us to know you in ways that we cannot know unless we fully commit ourselves. Help us to know you in a way where we can't know you unless we are willing to give everything. Lord, help us today and tomorrow and the next day to deny ourselves and to take up your cross and to follow after you. Jesus, we pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.